Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. A reminder that our resource of the month, it's titled Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case, available for your gift. You can check it out on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. This resource, I think, transcendently important. You think about what students are being taught in schools today, colleges around the world, universities, grammar school, grade school, high school. I spoke in a high school just 2 days ago. And you recognize how important it is for Christians to be able to demonstrate that God created the universe. The apologetic question, not a apologetic issue, is the issue of origins, and how one views their origins will ultimately determine how they live their life. Classic case in point, Alex Rosenberg. He's a professor of philosophy at Duke University. He's the author of The Atheist Guide to Reality. It's subtitled Enjoying Life Without Illusions. And he bites the bullet. He's very, very clear on what he is teaching his students. When they ask, is there a God, he says, no. When they ask about the meaning of life, he says, there is no meaning to life. When they ask him what the purpose of the universe is, he tells them, there is no purpose to the universe. When they ask, why am I here? He answers, you're here because of dumb luck. When they ask him, is there free will? He answers, not a chance. And then when he is asked by his students, and remember this is a philosophy professor, is there a difference between right and wrong, good and bad? He answers, there is, my dear student, no moral difference between them. Little wonder with professors like this in classrooms around the country that we have shootings like in Roseburg, Oregon. And of course, Alex Rosenberg is not alone. Bart Ehrman. He is a professor of religious studies at UNC Chapel Hill and tells his students that the Bible contains not only untruths or accidental mistakes, it also contains what almost anyone today would call lies. He says the use of deception to promote the truth may well be considered one of the most unsettling ironies of the early Christian tradition. And what's more, Ehrman is particularly proud of causing the faith of his students to waver. He says that some students resist for a long time, secure in their knowledge that God would not allow any falsehoods into his sacred book, but before long, as students see more and more of the evidence, many of them find that their faith in the inerrancy and absolute trustworthiness of the Bible begins to waver. In other words, he wants to take the Bible out of the equation and let his students know that it is not a reliable authority. Was he gaining traction? Of course. Are the 3.7 million U.S. evangelicals, 18 to 29, 2.6 million will leave the faith between their 18th and 29th birthdays. Even more alarming is the fact that the vast majority of them will never return. An example from the book Stealing from God by Frank Turek is one of the top Christian students in a high school, the winner of scholarships. She decides on going to the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, where Bart Ehrman is. And her reason for wanting to go there is that she wants to win the campus for Christ. And yet, scarcely a month into it, she shocks her father by saying, "Dad, I don't believe in God anymore." Once again, the need to be equipped is dramatic because university professors have a far more favorable conception of Islam than they do of Christianity, and that prejudice against Bible-believing Christians is going to continue accelerating as it seeps from professors to impressionable students and then into the mainstream culture during the coming decades. But all that, again, underscores the need to know what you believe and why you believe and in whom you have believed. This, once again, is why Stealing from God by Frank Turek is a very timely and necessary resource. It is available for your gift. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. The author, Frank Turek, joins me now on the broadcast. Hi, Frank.
Hank, great to be with you. Thanks for having me on. It's an honor to be back on. CRI has been a staple in my life for 22 years. When I first learned about it, when I met Norman Geisler, I was in Maryland, and I started to listen to CRI, and that was when I first cut my teeth on apologetics, Hank. So I'm indebted to you and the show and CRI for the past 22 years. It's been a staple.
And you're really dealing in this book with not just a apologetic issue, but what we might well say is the apologetic issue, and it has real ramifications for what we're finding out even in a shooting yesterday.
Yes. In fact, yesterday I was at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill speaking to their crew gathering there. They had over 500 kids. They had standing room only. And I was doing, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist, and I actually brought Bart Ehrman up to these kids. I said, "Your own Bart Ehrman thinks that there's too much evil in the world for there to be a good God. The Bible can't deal with evil. He's just written a book on this." And I said, the problem with Bart's position on this is that he has to steal from God in order to make this argument, because evil wouldn't exist unless good existed, and good wouldn't exist in an objective sense unless God existed. So when Bart Ehrman says evil disproves God, or tries to hint at that anyway, he's actually stealing from God in order to argue against him.
One of the reasons that I appreciate this book is you're taking the complex, making it simple and transferable. It's one of the core values of the Christian Research Institute, and I suppose the reason you're doing that is you want people not only to hear the information, but internalize the information so that they can make a difference on their college campuses or wherever they are around the world.
Yeah, exactly, and I took a page from your books. I use an acronym to kind of organize the book. It's really the spine of the book, and the acronym is CRIMES, C-R-I-M-E-S. Atheists are committing intellectual crimes, and each letter stands for a different aspect of reality that atheists are stealing from the theistic world, Hank, in order to make their case, and they are causality, reason, information, morality, evil, and science. Many of these things are things that atheists say point to atheism, yet none of those things would exist unless a theistic God exists. So they're actually stealing from God when they're arguing against him.
What's interesting is you hear popular people today, or at least people who have been on the popular scene, pundits, you have punmeisters, you have professors, you have presidents who are quite clearly making light of the very notion that there is a God. Let me play a clip and have you respond to it. This is a clip of George Carlin saying that religion is simply BS.
Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky who watches everything you do every minute of every day. And the invisible man has a special list of 10 things he does not want you to do. And if you do any of these 10 things, he has a special place full of fire and smoke and burning and torture and anguish where he will send you to live and suffer and burn and choke and scream and cry forever and ever till the end of time. But he loves you.
So here you have George Carlin doing a caricature of God, a caricature of hell, but people who do not know any better laugh.
Yeah, because it's very easy to mock religion in today's scientific age. And what he's doing, as you just said, Hank, he's caricaturing religion, and he doesn't believe in the God I don't believe in either. See, he's making up a God that isn't the God of the Bible. And many Christians just make God out to be the invisible man in the sky, just what Carlin was saying there. But in reality, God isn't the man in the sky. God is the self-existing, infinite, simple, immaterial, spaceless, timeless, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, immutable, holy, personal being that created and sustains everything else that exists. He's not like Thor. He's not like Ra. He's not like the flying spaghetti monster. These are all caricatures that George Carlin and Richard Dawkins and others make out to be God, but these are idols. In fact, here's one thing that atheists like Richard Dawkins and George Carlin agree with God on. Idols don't exist. I mean, that's the entire message of the Old Testament. Stay away from idols. I'm the true God, not these finite, limited beings that people like Carlin, Dawkins, Lawrence Krauss, and others try and caricature the true God to be. The true God to be, the true God that actually is an infinite being, not a finite, invisible man in the sky.
Talk about how logic and reason end up pointing towards the existence of God as opposed to away from the existence of God.
Well, one of the things that, as you know, Hank, atheists try and do is they try and say, look, we're the free thinkers. We're the reasonable ones here. The problem with regard to atheism is that there is no free and there is no thinking going on if atheism is true, because atheism makes rational thought impossible. You say, well, how can that be? Because if we're just molecules in motion, as the atheists assert, because they're materialists, that every thought we have is the result of the non-rational laws of physics. We don't have minds, we just have brains, according to them, which means that we're nothing more than moist robots. But, of course, robots are not free thinkers. If materialistic atheism is true, then we have no grounds to believe anything we think, including our thoughts that atheism is true. So atheism is really the universal acid. It makes reason impossible, which is ironic, Hank, because as you know, these people run around saying they're the reasonable ones. We're the free thinkers. Well, look, if we're just moist robots, if we're just molecules in motion, then there is no such thing as reason. We're just reacting.
And this is one of the reasons I brought up Alex Rosenberg at the very beginning of the broadcast. He is quite simply saying there is no such thing as free will. We are determined by brain chemistry and genetics.
Yeah, well, one wonders if he freely wrote that. Why should we believe anything Alex Rosenberg writes if we have no free will? It means every thought he has, including the thought that we don't have free will, is the result of the non-rational laws of physics. So we have no warrant to believe it. That's the self-defeating nature of materialistic atheism. Literally, as you know, Hank, atheism is self-refuting. I mean, if anything's true, it's not atheism. And if it is true, there's no way to know it because they've destroyed all tools required in order to know anything.
We're going to have Frank Turk back throughout the month talking about the book Stealing from God. But this is one of those resources that you absolutely need to have. Again, I emphasize need to have because this is not just a apologetic issue. This is the apologetic issue. If you don't get this one straight, you're not going to get anything else straight. Stealing from God by Frank Turk. It's available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants as well, standing by 888-7000. And the letters CRI. Thanks, Frank.
Thank you, Hank.
Stealing from God, again, the resource of the month. We need many of you to join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. When you do, be pleased to send you one of my books personalized to you, a family member or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. And when you donate all this month, Stealing from God on its way to you. Again, a phenomenal book. It's a great read, available for your gift. And we need you to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in this one-of-a-kind battle for not only truth, but also life.
In his recent book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case, author Frank Turek shows that the laws of logic, our ability to reason, and the intelligibility of the universe cannot be accounted for apart from a timeless, spaceless, immaterial, and unchangeable mind. What this means for atheists is that by using reason, they are actually stealing from God in order to argue against Him. To receive your copy of Stealing from God as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will return shortly. A dolphin's biosonar permits it to distinguish the difference between a golf ball and a ping pong ball based solely on its density. In fact, dolphins can see inside things. What's more, a dolphin can detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think a dolphin's echolocation system simply arose from purposeless processes rooted in blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. A young Christian woman goes off to college with a vision to win her campus for the Lord, only to call home at the end of the quarter to say, "Dad, I don't believe in God anymore." This scenario is becoming all too common. But according to Frank Turek, it's not so much that Christian minds are lost at college, it's that Christian minds rarely get to college. The key to reversing this mass exodus of youth from the church is in preparing them with good reasons to believe. That's why CRI is offering the book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. Receive your copy of Frank Turek's Stealing from God as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Recently, Time magazine noted a number of prominent evangelical churches and leaders who have reversed their positions on homosexuality. Time concluded that, quote, change is coming to one of the last redoubts of opposition to gay marriage in America, end quote. Is modern evangelicalism on the cusp of embracing a God-ordained civil rights movement or a grotesque error masquerading as reformation? Other topics include putting race in biblical perspective, two views on human origins, how Christianity led to the rise of modern science, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Richard Dawkins admits that the amount of information in a one-celled organism, such as an amoeba, has as much information in its DNA as 1,000 Encyclopedia Britannicas. Now, believing that 1,000 encyclopedias came into existence without any intelligent intervention is like believing that an entire bookstore resulted from an explosion in a printing shop. Many more reasons to believe can be found in Frank Turek's latest book, Stealing from God: Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. To receive your copy of Stealing from God, as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I was watching a CNN reporter just before I came on the broadcast interviewing Stacy Boland, who is the father of Anna Boylan, an 18-year-old student at the community college in Oregon, who was one of the victims. She was shot, but she survived. And she was explaining to her dad before going to surgery that she was sitting in class when the gunman came into the classroom and immediately fired rounds, and then he shot the professor. And then the killer began asking those in the classroom, "What is your religion? Are you a Christian?" Listen to this.
He was able to stand there and start asking people one by one what their religion was. "Are you a Christian?" he would ask them. "And if you're a Christian, stand up." And they would stand up, and he said, "Good, because you're a Christian, you're going to see God in just about 1 second." And then he shot and killed them. And he kept going down the line doing this.
Well, again, this is a report by CNN. This is the voice of Stacy Boylan, who is the father of Anna, who is in the hospital at this time, a victim of the shooting, but still alive. And you wonder, when you hear these kinds of things, what the mindset of the shooter was. We know from other sources, and even from this firsthand testimony, that he didn't much care about religion, which means he likely did not care a whole lot about God. Nor did he care a whole lot about human life. He gratuitously took the lives of others. And though I cannot get into his mind, he's dead, nor do I know much about him, I can tell you, beyond the peradventure of a doubt, that there are literally hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions, of students who are being taught by atheistic professors like Alex Rosenberg. I mean, this is a philosophy professor. He's teaching people how to think. And he's telling them there's no difference between right and wrong, good and bad. He's drumming this into their minds in lectures, in books. And he's saying, this is how you live life without any illusions. This is where all the gusto is. Now, if you're a student and you're zoned out on zombie movies, you haven't learned how to think critically, and you're listening to a professor telling you there is no difference between right, wrong, good, bad, There's no free will. There's no purpose to life. There's no purpose to the universe, and there is no God to whom you ultimately will be accountable. It's hard to imagine why the newscasters are asking the question, how could he have done it? It's more likely a valid question to ask, why do we not see a whole lot more of this? Ideas have consequences. And the atheistic worldview has dramatic consequences. I mean, you listen to Ron Reagan. Ron Reagan is the son of Ronald Reagan, former president of the United States. He is an avowed atheist, and he's proud of it. And he has no sense whatsoever that there's any accountability for what he does, for what the shooter did, for what Hitler did. These kinds of people simply die in the comforting arms of whoever happens to be near with no eternal consequences. Do you think I'm exaggerating? Listen to Ron Reagan speak for himself.
Hi, I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective association of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate, just like our founding fathers intended. Please support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
Not afraid of burning in hell. Why? Because he does not believe that there is a God. He believes nothing created everything. Life came from non-life, and the life that came from non-life produced morals. He doesn't believe that there's free will. He believes he's fatalistically determined. And so he lives a life which is a life that flies in the face of all reason. Again, one of the reasons we are promoting stealing from God as our resource of the month, it is available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a timely topic, to say the least. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go right to the phone calls. First up, Odell, listening in Chicago, Illinois, on the web. Hi.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Yes. The reason I have a question here. The Apostle Paul, well, first of all, we know that the world suffers as a result of sin. And now the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 16, verses 25 and 26, he gives us a formula in those two verses there that, my understanding, could practically fix our dilemma overnight. And he says there in Romans 16, 25 and 26, that there's a mystery that was kept hidden in God or kept secret in God from the beginning of the world, but is now revealed to the world for the obedience of faith. And what I don't see in the churches, I don't see anybody ever talk about this mystery that, my understanding of it, could practically fix our problem or practically overnight.
So what's the mystery?
Why isn't it spoken about, and what is the mystery?
Are you asking me what the mystery is, or are you telling me what the mystery is?
Well, I'm asking, first of all, what is the mystery? I think I understand it, but I'm asking you, what is the mystery, and then why isn't it discussed?
Well, it is discussed. It's discussed in the Word of God, and most Christians will be familiar with this passage, the mystery made manifest by the prophetic scriptures, as Paul says, is revealed in Jesus Christ. So what you have in the Old Testament is an unfolding mystery. It's mysterious because it comes in types and shadows, but ultimately only one walks through the door of the Old Testament prophecies that Paul is talking about, and that is Jesus Christ. So he is saying it is a mystery, that mystery is now made manifest. It's made manifest by the prophetic scriptures, and he's saying the mystery is Jesus Christ.
Well, so, Hank, I beg to differ because...
Well, how can you differ with that? I mean, that's what the text is saying. The text that you brought to my attention is saying that.
Yeah, here's my point. Moses was the first one in Genesis who spoke about Jesus Christ coming and what he was coming for, his purpose was. So it wasn't a mystery. All the prophets spoke about Jesus Christ coming and what his purpose was coming for. So that really was...
Well, it was a mystery in the sense that it was revealed sequentially in types and shadows. So if you're talking about Moses, or you're talking about Abraham, who was a friend of God, or you're talking about Joshua, or you're talking about any one of the patriarchs, they saw things as though those things were in a dimly lit room, because they were only looking through types and shadows. Those types and shadows were not made fully manifest until Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, and through his life, through his works, through his death and resurrection, through his ascension, the mystery revealed in the prophetic scriptures is now made perfectly crystal clear in Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. That's what the text is teaching, and there's no amount of obfuscation that will change that reality. Tony next in Overland Park, Kansas, listening on Bot Radio. Hi.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Hello?
Hi.
Okay. I had a quick question. I have a question that one of my coworkers wanted me to ask you. When Jesus was on this earth, was he always restricted by the will of the Father to demonstrate, or sometimes did he demonstrate as God in the human flesh?
Well, Jesus Christ is Theanthropus, as you rightly point out, who voluntarily veiled the prerogatives of divinity, but he was not divested of a single attribute of deity. So we see his divine prerogative in his miracles. We see his divine prerogative in his words. We ultimately see his divine prerogative in the fact that he raised himself from the dead. Remember, when we speak about God, we're speaking about a triadic one. So Jesus is never divorced in any sense from the Father or the Spirit, and that's why the Scripture can tell us at once that the Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead, that the Father raised Christ from the dead, and that Jesus Christ himself raised himself from the dead.
Okay. I have one other quick question, if I could ask.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is there somewhere in the Bible where it states that if we will recognize our family members when we die?
Well, the Bible, by theological inference, is letting us know that we're not going to have less knowledge, but we're going to have more knowledge in the new heavens and the new earth. Now we see dimly, then we will see reality as it is. And so we're going to have more knowledge in the new heavens and the new earth. We're not going to be like Casper the ghost strumming a harp on a cloud. We're going to be resurrected in bodies. So what happens is the soul will return to the body, and that body is transformed, and we will know one another. Now, we will know one another as the entirety of a human being, which is to say the physical and the non-physical aspect of humanity will identify us in terms of who we are. Not only that, but we will have all kinds of information that exceeds what we have right now. So our knowledge of one another, especially intimate relationships, will be enhanced, not in any way detracted from.
Oh, okay. I remember you saying that before, but I just had to ask it again.
Well, I'm glad you asked. I've written about this in my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, the book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. If you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, be pleased to send you a personalized copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Be right back with more answers.
In the current cosmic battle for the minds and souls of millions, too many Christians comport themselves as clueless babes in the woods, utterly ill-equipped to deal with the sinister assaults that are mounting on multiple fronts. The reality is, it's not too difficult to become equipped to present and defend the faith. And that's why CRI is offering Frank Turek's illuminating book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. Receive your copy of Stealing from God as our thanks for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay with us. Hank will be back right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Over the past year, American news has been dominated by one story after another of a black man being fatally injured in a confrontation with police. Allegations of racism have followed each case, accompanied by discussions, debates, demonstrations, and disturbances with an intensity unseen since the 1960s. What kind of healing can Christian faith bring to this national divide? Other topics include assessing the church's change of heart about homosexuality. Is it immoral to believe in God? Two views on human origins, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Many parents and churches emphasize emotion and ignore the biblical commands to develop the mind, which means that most kids skip off to college equipped with little more than feel-good emotionalism, writes Frank Turek in his latest book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. If bands, pizza, and Pepsi could equip church youth with the intellectual firepower to defend Christianity, we wouldn't have so many kids fleeing the church. To equip young people in the defense of the faith and help reverse their mass exodus from the church, read Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. To receive your copy of Stealing from God as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism, an age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film by Illustra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Multitudes of students are leaving the church as the result of arguments against Christianity from atheist college professors. Yet atheist arguments against God are faulty. Moreover, the feel-good emotionalism offered in most church youth groups leaves students unprepared to give a reason for why they believe what they believe. One of the ways CRI is seeking to reverse this tragic situation is by offering the latest book by Frank Turek, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. To receive your copy of Stealing from God as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. I'm going to be speaking on the relevancy of Christian apologetics, including the issue of origins in the 21st century. This all taking place at St. Paul Baptist Church, Sacramento, California, And it'll be on October 9th. You can find out more by dialing 916-524-2853. Again, area code 916-524-2853. Or just check it out on the web at equip.org. I'm going to stay here for an extra hour today. Once we go off the air, continue taking your calls. So I'll get to everybody on the board. And if those listening in want to call in their question during the off-air hour, you can call 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. You start dialing now, and for the next hour, I'll be answering calls. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Steve. He's listening in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, on Bot Radio. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Hank. I've been a long-time listener, about 8 or 9 years. I have about 15 of your books. I love your ministry.
Thank you.
I got a sibling that... I'm 70, he's 74, but anyway, he converted to Roman Catholicism when he got married 30, 40 years ago. And although he speaks about Christ, now sometimes he'll turn right around and deny his deity at other times. And I'll say things like, I like to evangelize, and he says, I don't. And I say, well, that's what Christ said. And he said, well, I don't believe that. And I say, well, it's in the Bible. He says, well, I still don't believe it. And he also... Matthew 7, about judging, he said, oh, no, we can't judge anybody for anything. I said, well, we have to make some kind of judgment sometimes. He said, no, that verse doesn't say that. It says we cannot judge, period. And the other thing, last one, he says that we cannot sin against man. I said, well, Lindsay, what about the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our sins, our debts, or trespasses, and we forgive other trespasses against us. He said, well, I don't believe that either. That's only in the domain of God. We can't sin against man. And what's your reply? I hope we can hear this later.
Well, I think you've done pretty well. It is true with respect to the idea of judging that Jesus says we should not judge self-righteously or hypocritically. But when we judge, we should make a right judgment. So it's not that we shouldn't judge. We shouldn't do so hypocritically. You're also correct with respect to the Lord's Prayer. In fact, what follows the Lord's Prayer, I think, would be very, very helpful for your brother. There our Lord says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So, yes, it is true that ultimately all sin is a violation of the holiness of God. That, however, does not mean that we do not ask forgiveness from human beings. In fact, Jesus is emphatic, if we don't, then we ourselves will not be forgiven. So we must always, as Christians, be those willing to extend forgiveness. Now, we can't affect reconciliation because it always takes two parties, someone wanting to forgive and someone willing to be forgiven. Appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. Gary in Plano, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Gary.
Thank you, Hank. I was just wondering if the dimensions of a holy city fit the Abrahamic covenant promise.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was from the river Euphrates to the river Egypt. And, of course, as the Bible makes plain, all the promises God made to Abraham have been fulfilled. Not one of them has failed. You see this particularly in the Solomonic kingdom, where the biblical text tells us that the people of Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They ate, they drank, they were happy. And then the text tells us that Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the river Euphrates to the land of the Philistines as far as the river of Egypt. So God's promises were fulfilled in terms of that entire landmass.
And speaking of the believers in Christ, all the stars in heaven as well, instead of the sands.
Oh, yes, yes, that metaphor is used. That's right. The stars in the heavens and the sands in the seashore. Yes, that's a very good point.
Thanks so much for your time.
Hey, you got it. Thanks so much for your question. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Debbie in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Debbie. Hello, Debbie. Debbie, if you're listening, you might want to turn your radio down. Maybe she's not listening. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Jack in Chicago, Illinois. He's listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Jack.
Yeah, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah, sorry about the lawsuit. Was that your friend that you were talking about that passed away? Was that a pastor?
It was a pastor and a friend, yes.
Okay, well, okay. Sorry to hear that on that news. My question was, in the apoplectic age that we're living in, or in the apostate age that we're living in, where does America and Western countries fit in as far as the deception that's leading them, you know, to condone gay marriages, you know, all these other sinful behaviors that you know, you read in the about Sodom and Gomorrah and the punishment that they deserve. How does this fit in where America, you know, in just, you know, living self-indulgent lives, thinking that they don't need a God, and, you know, they are just a God to themselves, like the devil, you know, like the serpent tempted Eve. I just want to hear what your state as far as America's decline spiritually, and what part of Revelations, if any, is America or Western European countries living in a apostate age, or has it already passed that age and just setting up for the new world order with the Antichrist? Stay on the air.
Sure. Yeah, I think that the Bible has always been very, very clear that we are to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, and when we're not ambassadors for Jesus Christ, what happens is the culture corrodes. Jesus made that plain. He said the salt has lost its saltiness, and when that happens, the salt is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. And he also goes on to say that we as believers are lights, as it were. And if we put our light under a bushel, there's an obviously dramatic impact on the culture. So the real problem has always been that Christians are not fulfilling their job description. In terms of the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation is not dealing with America in the 21st century, but the principles, though Revelation was written to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult and not to us, the principles most certainly apply to us. We are called to be a light. We are called to be a standard. We're called to be faithful and fruitful. We're called to maintain our first love. When we don't do that, the culture goes in the direction that the culture is going. So I think what's critical is that Christians are equipped, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect. One of the reasons that we are now making available Stealing from God by Frank Turek as our offer for the month so Christians can be salt and light so that they can be equipped so they're always ready to give an answer.
Yeah, but I got one follow-up. Are we living in an apostate stage now? Is the church living in that era now where even the church members are denying the faith that brought them through Jesus Christ and they're just living like the secular world?
Well, I think it is true that that many Christians are microcosms of the world as opposed to change agents in the world. So they're cultural imitators rather than cultural initiators. And the point, I think, is really underscored by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, where he says that we ought to be renewed. And the way we are renewed is by the renewal of our minds, and then we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I think one of the things that is most troublesome to me is there are so many Christians that have completely failed the art and science of biblical interpretation. They don't know the books of the Bible, they can't pronounce them, and they can't read them in the sense in which they're intended. And as a result of that, instead of being change agents, what they allow the world to do is make a caricature out of Christianity, very much like George Carlin did when I was playing the clip earlier. He made a caricature out of hell. And what's interesting about that is it's one thing for a George Carlin not to be able to read the Bible and understand what the Bible says about hell properly. But it's quite another thing when Christians who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips are unable to read the Bible and understand it in the sense in which it's intended. And that gives the enemies of Christ a way to mock Christ. So rather than feeding into that, we should learn discernment skills. We ought to be those who are able to communicate that God created the universe, that Jesus Christ is God, that the Bible is an infallible repository of redemptive revelation. We ought to be those who have biblical literacy stamped all over us. We know how to read that beautiful treasure that we have been given, that jewel, instead of butchering the biblical text. And we ought to know how to counter cults and world religions. That is the aim of the Christian Research Institute, and we are deeply appreciative of those Christians that stand with this ministry shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. As mentioned just a few moments ago, I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls. So if you're hanging on, please be patient. I'll get to you. And if you're dialing in for the next hour, you can dial 888-ASK-HANK. I'll be answering your questions as well. That number once again, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We had a drastic September. It was horrible in terms of income. And so we are way behind and need to catch up. If you have some of the Lord's resources and can invest them in this ministry, it would be deeply appreciated. I can't do what I do unless you do what you do. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI. As mentioned, I'll be here for the next hour, continuing to take your calls.
What if your best reasons to doubt God prove that He exists? Many atheistic arguments, instead of disproving God, reveal that He actually exists. Find out how in Frank Turek's recent book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the book, Stealing from God. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Recently, Time magazine noted a number of prominent evangelical churches and leaders who have reversed their positions on homosexuality. Time concluded that, quote, "change is coming to one of the last redoubts of opposition to gay marriage in America," end quote. Is modern evangelicalism on the cusp of embracing a God-ordained civil rights movement or a grotesque error masquerading as reformation? Other topics include putting race in biblical perspective, two views on human origins, how Christianity led to the rise of modern science, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. A young Christian woman goes off to college with a vision to win her campus for the Lord, only to call home at the end of the quarter to say, "Dad,
I don't believe in God anymore. This scenario is becoming all too common. But according to Frank Turek, it's not so much that Christian minds are lost at college, it's that Christian minds rarely get to college. The key to reversing this mass exodus of youth from the church is in preparing them with good reasons to believe. That's why CRI is offering the book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. Receive your copy of Frank Turek's Stealing from God as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.